You're very welcome back to Morning Ireland and to Mullingar in County Westmeath, in particular on the shores of Lough Ennel, Lough Owel and Lough Derravarra, linked to the legend of the Children of Lear. Well, the Mullingar Park Hotel is our host this morning as we are joined by the Fine Gael leader, the Taoiseach, Minister for Foreign Affairs, Trade and Defence and Fine Gael TD for Wicklow, Simon Harris, who's here with his party ahead of the Dáil getting back to business next week. You're very welcome. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Audrey. Welcome to Mullingar.
This day, 4 weeks' time, Budget 2026 will be delivered. Now, inflation is currently at 1.8%, which is higher than it was last year when the budget was announced then. Food inflation in particular is running at around 5%. People here pay €350 more for electricity than other EU countries. Doesn't all of that demand that the electricity credits, the double payments, be given once more? Because the cost of living crisis, as it's called, is still very real for so many people.
So the cost of living crisis is still very real for so many people. And what I suppose will reject in the weeks in the run-up to the budget is the framing of the budget as to whether it's a choice between doing a cost of living package now or not caring about cost of living. I don't think that stands up to any objective degree of scrutiny. We've published a summary economic statement basically outlining how much we intend to spend into the budget. And in and around €5.9 billion will be available to spend on current spending, and in and around €1.5 billion will be available to spend on tax measures. And I want to say very clearly to people, and what we've been discussing here with my party colleagues is, within that envelope, if you like, there will of course be an ability to do things to help people with the cost of living. But what we've got to do, and we were very honest about this in the election, is we've got to move away from this kind of one-off, will I get it, won't I get it? That's no way for a family to plan, no way for a business to plan.
But we've got to had it for three budgets.
So I accept
it's
that.
Built in now to their budgets.
And I think, and being very honest, I think there's probably pangs of anxiety when people hear, oh, the one-off measures aren't going to be there. So let me assure people that as we frame this budget, we will of course be looking to do things to help them with their cost of living, whether that's things for carers, for older people in relation to their pensions, whether it's keeping the lower rate of VAT on energy, I think that's a very important measure, whether it's looking at our small and medium businesses and what we can help them to do with their cost base, cost of education. There's lots of things that we can do. And indeed, there's things that are happening now from the last budget. So for example, in the next month or so, many more people will qualify for the fuel allowance this year that didn't last year as well. So yes, we're moving back to one annual budget, but we're not ignorant of the fact that the cost of living challenge is real for
people. But for those people who are not in that bracket of emergency benefits, as it were, those people for whom the electricity credits made an enormous difference, the double child benefit payments made a huge difference, they won't be getting them this time round, will they? And shouldn't they be?
There won't be effectively a second budgetary package where we have one budget that runs from September to Christmas and one budget that runs from January to the end of the year. And we've been very clear on that, and indeed,
but inflation is higher at the moment than it was last year when you gave them out.
But we have to move back to one annual budget. I mean, that we've been very clear with people in the run-up to the election in relation to that. But what I am saying to people is, help is on the way. There will be measures to assist them. But what we want to do is make sure they're permanent, sustainable measures. Not this idea of every year a family having to turn on the budget and see, will I be getting a double payment? They want to know, are they actually going to reduce childcare for once and for all? Are they actually going to help my mother qualify for the carer's allowance for once and for all? Are they actually going to reduce the cost of running the local cafe to keep jobs in the town and village? And not this idea of they're going to throw a bit of money at it this year and maybe it'll be there next year.
Well,
that's
ESRI,
not a good way to run a country.
The ESRI is telling us this morning that one in five children here live in poverty when housing costs are included. And if you look at the figures, 458 children were homeless in 2011 when Fine Gael came to power. The most recent figures for children in homelessness now stands at 5,014. The ESRI is calling for a two-tier child benefit to be introduced. They believe it will have a real impact on fighting child poverty. Will it be introduced?
So I favour this, by the way. We reference this in our manifesto, and our programme for government, from my memory, recalls exploring it. It is something that is going to be, if the government decides to proceed, a multi-annual project. It's a major transformational project. But I would like to work constructively with government colleagues to get there. I've listened to the likes of the Children's Rights Alliance and others, and I'm a believer that this is a good way of lifting children out of poverty
in
a sustainable manner.
Will it start in 4 weeks' time in the budget?
So I don't want to do the thing that drives government colleagues mad of announcing the budget now, but I'd certainly like to see a roadmap. Myself and the Taoiseach had a really good meeting last week on child poverty with senior ministers. And what we've said to all ministers is, we want you to come back with with practical measures you can take in your own department in terms of child poverty. Children's Rights Alliance have said this morning, and I appreciate this, we have taken a lot of measures. But it's also true to say that a lot of the benefits of those measures have been wiped out by the cost of living challenges and housing challenges. So things like Debt Plus that Helen McEntee is working on, targeting supports to children in schools most in need, measures like childcare, providing additional supports to children in disadvantaged areas. And yes, things that we did last year where we increased the child support payment, eligibility for the working family payment, there will be a priority.
In particular, would they be replaced by a two-tier child benefit? Because your tax strategy group says they would.
Yeah.
And it might leave people actually worse off.
This is what I talk about when I talk about reform. So when I was Taoiseach and I met with the child poverty unit in the department, they would talk about you'd have to actually look at the existing supports that are available and do you wrap them into a new benefit system that's more straightforward. So there is a significant piece of work that needs to be done. But I'm a signed up believer that a second tier of child benefit over time could make a very significant difference.
But Leo Varadkar believed the same, I think, 5 years ago. Micheál Martin, I think, a few years ago said it to me as well. He supported it, but it's still not.
And the Taoiseach and I are committed on working on child poverty measures, but what we have done in the interim, and this was welcomed last year, was we made a very significant increase in the child support payment. I think one of the biggest increases ever, an increase in the number of families that qualified for the working family payment and other things like hot school meals, free school books. But I think it's the targeting piece now that is going to be important. And I know that we're at idem in government in relation to this. You've rightly asked me about the cost of living challenge that lots of people are facing. We need to help there. But there are also particular groups of people in society, most particularly children, that do deserve a real renewed and particular focus in this budget.
What will the student contribution be for third level for 2025-26 after this budget? Will it be 3,000? Will it be 2,000?
So I'm going to tell you the same thing that I've said last year, the year before, and I think the year before that. That will be announced on budget day. That's no different to any other year. So I want to say, I hear people say students have to have clarity. I understand that argument, but it's always been announced on budget day and it will again be announced on the 7th of October. I heard the Minister for Higher Education's comments yesterday and I fully agree with him that what he would like to do is try and bring about a permanent reduction. I'll certainly be in his corner in relation to that. I do believe the €3,000 college fees are very, very high for many families, particularly families who can have more than one child in college at a time.
But will it be a progressive reduction to 2,000 or lower, or will it be
these decisions have to be made on budget day. But what I would say, what I would remind people is that most college students, in fact, I'd say almost all, pay their fees in instalments. Very few people have a spare €3,000 to pay in the fees, let alone six if you have two children in college. So a lot of students will have paid the first instalment. They'll have another instalment due in the new year. And what they want to know is, will that instalment come down? And we'll make that decision on budget.
Parents also want to know, because the programme for government has promised the cost of childcare will be progressively reduced to €200 a month per child. So again, will parents see the start of that process in 4 weeks' time?
So we have started it. So right across my constituency in County Wicklow, right across the country, people have seen a reduction in childcare over the last number of budgets. What they're also saying to me now, though, is, Simon, you can keep reducing childcare and that's very helpful, but we can't get a place. So the question for government is going to be to decide the sequence in which we move forward the various measures. It's an absolute commitment of all the parties in government, I think all the parties in the Dáil, to get to €200 per child per month in the lifetime of this Dáil. That's five budgets. This year, whether Minister Foley brings forward proposals to reduce the fees, to inject more funding into places, or both, is a matter for discussion. 21 actions in the programme for government, and there will be an action plan on childcare published in and around the time of the budget that will try to knit together the appropriate sequence to move, because you don't want to make things worse here, reduce the cost and then find it's harder to get a place. We've got to get the sequence of this right.
You've said that disability is a priority. Other parties in government have said the same thing. You published a five-year strategy last week, but do you find it difficult to disagree with those who are battling the system right now and who say it is broken?
They're correct. They're absolutely correct. And I met the very brilliant Cara Darmody. I have met her several times, but I met her most recently, I think the week before last. People will know she's the 14-year-old girl from Tipperary advocating to change the assessment of need process. And if I believed disability was just about writing a cheque, more public money to increase and improve the services, we'd have done that. We've tried it many times. It requires more fundamental reform. That's why we're doing a couple of things. Firstly, we are looking at how the assessment of need works. We're looking at how we can ensure people get quicker access. We're using private capacity in the interim, and we've seen a 30% increase in assessments of need this year as a result of that. But it's also why we've set up a national education therapy service. So for the first time, you have a national service within education that if you get your child into a special school, the speech and language therapist, the OT and the physio will be attached to that school too. I think these are the sort of fundamental changes we need to make if we are to fix a broken system.
What happens in the meantime, Tuanish, because one couple who spoke to Oliver Callan back in February said they'd been told then that their 3.5-year-old daughter wouldn't be seen for specialist services until July 2028. She'd be 6.5 then. She'll have missed all those vital years of occupational therapy, speech and language therapy, behavioural analysis therapy. And they're simply one of thousands. There's 42,000 waiting more than a year on these and other specialist services.
Absolutely. And I meet these people too. I know these people and they are waiting far too long. I want them to know we're going to do everything humanly possible to improve the situation. Practical examples of that mean significantly increasing the number of people we train in this area, making it easier for people who come from other European countries who are qualified in therapies from France or the UK to be registered to work here in Ireland. The Minister for Health is working on that as well. And also using private sector capacity in the interim, which has seen a very significant increase in the number of therapies provided.
They might look at you and say, your party has been in power for 15 years. You have overseen the breakdown of the system. So why would they trust you to fix it?
And to be very honest, if I was a parent of a child with special needs, I could absolutely understand their frustration. Absolutely understand that frustration. I would also point, though, and I think any objective analysis would also point to a number of positive things that have happened in relation to disability services during that time. If we look all across our country now, extra special classes opened, new special schools being funded, more therapy posts being funded, a dedicated minister with responsibility for disability.
Catherine Ardaz on the front of the...
To be very honest, politics is not one of those jobs where the in-tray empties. You've got to keep at this. You've got to keep working at it. Demand is growing. So too is service provision. But we decided to publish a fully whole-of-government national disability strategy last week for this very reason. This involves everybody putting their shoulders to the wheel, but it does also involve reform. In return for the extra investment, we've got to see reform in terms of the system. Not working for the system, but working for the child.
231 children currently waiting for scoliosis surgery. 9-year-old Harvey Morrison Sherratt waited 7 years for his. He finally got it. He only lived another 8 months. He died in July. His father said that his son was abandoned and written off by the state. And he and Harvey's mother, they say very clearly, very obviously, you are not responsible for Harvey's death. But they want you to take responsibility for your failed promise from 2017 when you pledged that no child would have to wait more than 4 months for scoliosis surgery. Do you take responsibility for that?
I'm absolutely accountable for comments and decisions I made when I was Minister for Health. I would make the point, well, firstly, I want to make the point that I want to meet with Harvey's parents. I've spoken to Harvey's mum on the phone and I look forward to meeting them with the Minister for Health at a time of their choosing, which I hope can happen this month. They need to be listened to. So too do other parents that they're working with that are highlighting the fact that they have legitimate, serious concerns around CHI and issues there. And I want to hear them. And I know the Minister does too.
You accept you had no right to give false hope to parents and to children.
I reflect on this a lot, Audrey, because I remember how this came about. There was an RTE programme, Clare Byrne television programme, showing a lot of children in a lot of pain waiting for spinal surgery. I remember the then head of the HSE and the then head of CHI telling me, telling the Oireachtas, tweeting, telling everybody that the HSE and CHI would deliver a four-month target. And I absolutely repeated that several times as the Minister for Health. What I would say is some good did come. There was an increase of around 200 spinal surgeries over those 2 years. We did see the waiting times for long waiters significantly fall. And I've obviously been out of the Department of Health now longer than I was in the Department of Health. But we need to do better in relation to this area. We need to listen humbly to parents. A new spinal surgeon started in the Children's Health Service on the 11th of August. And I know the Minister for Health is actively seeking to recruit more, which is a challenge, but we do need to recruit more. I think there are very legitimate questions, though. and concerns that parents have raised in relation to CHI, not just in relation to scoliosis and spinal surgery, but in other areas. And the Minister's put a number of processes in place, and parents' voices need to be heard as part of that.
A lot made last week of your candidate for the presidency, Heather Humphrey's green paper with regard to disability, a proposal which part of which involved changing how disabled people would be assessed for benefits, disabled people among the poorest in society. Did you call time on that proposal? Did you say this is it, it's ending?
No, the minister did at the time. I mean, Heather Humphreys is a politician who listens to people, engages with people. She's also a politician who can very much, I think, detect where the public mood and view is at on an issue. Ministers all of the time are given consultation papers and other things to bring forward, to bring about debate. And Heather made a decision. And I think what I would say to people is judge Heather on her record.
You ended it after you became leader of the
party. No, the government ended it. I mean, Minister Humphreys at the time made that decision in talking with me to end it. I think it was the right decision.
I want to talk to you finally for the last couple of minutes about the weekend you've had, you and your family, after a number of threats were made to you all. How are you? How is your family?
Thank you. They're okay. It's been a pretty rotten time. And this was a difficult decision. I mean, generally in politics, you're kind of meant to nearly shrug it off, shut up, move on, get on with it. And I just felt in consultation with my family that we couldn't do this, because the level of viciousness and the vile nature of the threats targeting my children, very close family relatives, and the sustained relentless nature of it, I think and thought needs to be called out. This is not who we are. These are criminal acts. Whatever people think of anybody's politics, I'm a democratically elected member of Dáil Éireann. I'm the leader of a political party. I'm the Taoiseach of the Deputy Prime Minister of this government. And people are entitled to go about their business, as are their families, free from abuse and criminal behaviour. And it's been a very difficult period, but I thought it was important to speak out in relation to it.
How do you balance that need to absolutely guarantee your family's safety, but at the same time not letting those who are making the threats win?
Well, let me say this. I mean, I don't mean this personally to you, but if there was a threat to kidnap your child, if there was a threat of sexual violence against a very close relative, and if there were threats to bomb your house, I'm not sure you'd be in work today. I'm here. I've turned up. I'm doing my very best to get on with my job. And that's what I'm trying to do.
And did you consider leaving politics at this level, at the level you're at?
I love politics. I love public service. It's nearly part of my DNA at this stage. I also love my family. And being honest, what I didn't want to do this week was just jump over what's happened. I'm just refusing to allow it be glossed over. Because as I said in my statement, me today, someone else the next day. And I keep on thinking, if somebody can make those threats against me, what could happen to somebody else? I don't mean to be alarmist, but we've seen in other jurisdictions violence against politicians. We've seen in this country violence against politicians. And I have a number of jobs. My job as a public representative and my job as a father and a husband. And I'm trying to balance all of them. But like I say, I've dug deep, I've turned up, and I'm trying to get on with the job.
Thank you very much for coming in to talk to us this morning. Taoiseach then Fine Gael leader Simon Harris. It's 8:31. This is Morning Ireland, and Brian's back with the latest news.